Welcome to the Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast, the show in which we explore different ways of aligning our energy, activities, inner work, and daily life with Earth's natural flow and the Sky Clock's astrological rhythm. I'm Anna, a passionate astrology enthusiast and natural cycles explorer, and I invite you to join me on this journey where I will try to create a more balanced, graceful, and joyful living using the timeless wisdom of a sky clock. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers, and welcome to the newest episode of Flowing with the Sky Clock. My name is Anna. And today we are going to talk about probably the most misunderstood sign in the entire zodiac, the Scorpio. This is probably the most timely episode I have done so far, because we are about to transition into a Scorpio season in around 11 hours. So where I am, where I live, which is Denmark, a small village in Jutland, the sun will move from the constellation of Libra to constellation of Scorpio 14 minutes past midnight, and it will stay there until the 21st of November, when it will move to Sagittarius, initiating our preparation for winter. But until that happens, let's have some fun with Scorpio, the magnetic, passionate, intense, complicated, dangerous Scorpio sign. And yeah, I used a lot of stereotypes also because today I want to address those stereotypes and I want to defend Scorpio a little bit, I believe. So Scorpio usually have a relatively bad reputation. It is considered one of the, if not most dangerous sign in the zodiac. And it doesn't inspire a lot of love and trust. And I must admit that I myself was a victim of that stereotype because before I started to explore astrology for real, I myself was afraid of people that we could consider to be Scorpio. And those people are people who, for example, have a sun in Scorpio, meaning they will have a birthday in the next 4 weeks. Those also are people who have a lot of planets in Scorpio in their birth chart, or they are rising Scorpio. And then a couple of years ago, I met two truly remarkable, wonderful women who were both Scorpio rising. And I learned not only to be friends with them, but also I learned more about the way they operate and the way they see the world. And it was extremely inspiring and transformative for me. And those are really wonderful friends in my life. So today, in a kind of a tribute to all the wonderful Scorpio women in my life, I would like to make an episode where we take all those negative stereotypes and try to explain them. It doesn't mean that everything that is said about Scorpio is incorrect. It means that our interpretation could be tinted with some negativity, and that is not necessarily the truth. So without further ado, let's start with the first stereotype or the first misconception. And that's not necessarily something that is neither negative or positive. It's just is. And it is I think it's a misconception that kind of is popular among people who start to study astrology. Because when you start to study astrology, you learn that the signs are grouped in triplets, and each triplet set is being kind of ruled or influenced by an element. So we have four elements. We have water, fire, air, and earth. So we have three water signs, three fire signs, three air signs, and three earth signs. And Scorpio is many times considered to be a fire sign. Fire signs are known to be very passionate, very intense, and have that kind of a magnetic personality, a lot of charisma. And Scorpio is considered to be probably the most intense zodiac sign. But Scorpio is a water sign. It's actually a fixed water sign. So it has not much to do with fire. Actually, interestingly, fire and water signs, kind of by, you know, generalization, they are not really compatible. So where does Scorpio takes its passionate, intensive nature or reputation? Well, first and foremost, water signs are emotional. They actually are the signs that are defined by the verb I feel. Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces are also considered to be the most feelings-driven sign. They are having a huge capacity to be empathic, and they also are very intuitive, and many times they have psychic abilities. So they are driven by emotions, and that probably, that is that part of intensity that we, for some reason, within Scorpio sign, understand as fire. But it's not exactly that, because no one would say that Cancer or Pisces are fire. So where that fire accent comes from? And I believe that comes from the ruling planet of Scorpio, which is Mars. Mars is ruling two signs in the zodiac. One is Aries, which is very like in your face, and Scorpio. However, people forget about the Mars rulership over Scorpio because in a modern astrology, it is considered that Pluto is the ruler. I subscribe more to the traditional one, and there are reasons for that that I will explain maybe in some other episode. But Mars, as a god of war, sex, action, and going and getting what you want, being ruler of emotional water, is giving that passion and intensity vibe to Scorpio. I believe that this is where it comes from. So imagine water on fire, pretty much. That's what Scorpio is. And I think that's where the misconception comes from. The second one, which is probably something that I stumble upon, it was the number one misconception that I have stumbled upon, is that Scorpio are the most dangerous people you will meet. Scorpio are the most dangerous zodiac in the entire wheel. Now, I don't know if you ever heard, but there is a way of saying don't cross a Scorpio or it will sting you. And there is some truth in that. You just heard that the god of war is ruling Scorpio. So, of course, there is an element of a fighter in Scorpio. And that element of a fighter is actually a defining feature of Scorpio in a daily life. It's just that many times we don't see it because a lot of that fighting and battles are happening inside of Scorpio. But let's look first at the symbol of Scorpio. So what represents Scorpio? Well, the scorpion. And it's not a pleasant animal to look at. It actually gives us the heebie-jeebies. If you would see Scorpio, you would run, right? Why is that? This is, besides something that is imprinted in our brains as humans or our consciousness, when you break down the looks and the functions of body parts in Scorpion, you really realize that this is an animal that is both ready to fight and ready to defend. It's both armored and armed. So Scorpio has an armor, just like actually crab that symbolizes Cancer. So water signs are protective of their feelings and emotions. So it is covered in exoskeleton. But on the top of that, it's also armed. And I'm pretty sure it's the only animal in a zodiac that has a weapon attached to its body. Because first of all, we have the pincers that are there to grab the victim and maybe dismember it. But we also have a tail. And in a tail of a Scorpio, there is a stinger. And that stinger has an actual poison inside. So you can get stung by a scorpion. Scorpio can harm you or even kill you. So I think that this is a perfect warrior, perfect fighting machine. It's just not in such an obvious way like, let's say, Ram that symbolizes Aries. You know, if you see a ram running at you, you run. But Scorpio is a little bit more subtle. Scorpio can come at you from a shadow. You will not notice it. If you are not careful, it can just sting you without you even seeing it, right? And I think that's why Scorpio is considered to be dangerous and not Aries. We know Aries is explosive. We know that they can be short-tempered and very fiery, and Aries can easily go into argument, stop screaming at someone, or even punch you. But we don't consider Aries to be a dangerous sign. It's just, you know, explosive, impulsive, and so on. Scorpio, on the other hand, is considered to be dangerous. And I think it's because of that feature of the glyph, of the sign, of the animal representing it. On the top of that, think about the fact that it is ruled by Mars. And as I mentioned, Mars is the god of war and fighting and warriors and action. But there is another aspect I would like you to pay attention to. If you listen to my previous episodes, you probably heard that signs are also divided into two polarities. So we have feminine signs and masculine signs. In different cultures, it's called differently. So in our culture, we call it a masculine feminine, but it's also, you can also call it yin and yang, day and night, introvert, extrovert signs, passive, active, and Scorpio as a water sign, because all water signs and all earth signs are feminine signs. It's categorized as the night sign because feminine responds to the night, right? So when I think about the way Aries and Scorpio fight, those are two different fighting styles. If I try to imagine Aries fighting, I see, I don't know, street fight, when someone said something to someone and they start to, you know, just hit each other in a broad daylight. Or if we take, let's say, more a medieval conditions, it's a battle and it's the first row of knights that are running into the enemy with the swords and screaming. That's Aries energy, the cardinal, let's go get and, you know, destroy them energy. However, Scorpio is a night sign. So how do you fight during the nighttime? It's not an open battle. It's not very loud. It's not very obvious. You do more of a attack from a shadows, right? You are scheming, planning, strategizing how to attack. And that's that quality of this being planned, of this being done in the darkness, that I think gives Scorpio that vibe of being a dangerous sign. So I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones. If you don't worry, it's a short example. I was thinking when I thought about Aerys at the battlefield, I thought about Jon Snow, who normally is actually not having an Aerys personality, galloping on his horse with a sword alone to attack the enemy. And that's Battle of the Bastards, if you are familiar. Like, really stupid, by the way. Like, all the people who watched Game of Thrones were like, well, that was stupid. When I think about Scorpio fighting, I see Littlefinger, I see Tywin Lannister. It's the long-term plan of doing certain moves in order to completely screw up your enemy in the end. And actually that ability to plan and be patient and be very, like, almost a perfectionist in how you will attack comes from the fact that Scorpio is also a fixed sign. So it is very good at continuing and doing long-term things, right? And I don't know why I say right all the time. So I will try to stop myself next time when I will have that tingling feeling to say it. So when Scorpio attacks, I would see it not as a knight galloping on a horse to just, you know, attack the enemy, kill them all kind of thing. I would see a person sitting on a battlefield in a night in a tent, figuring out, okay, maybe we can send two people to burn their food supply so they will not have anything to eat. Or maybe we can poison their water. Or maybe we can do this or that. That's the Scorpio energy. And it's way more dangerous than the very in-your-face Aries warriorship. And I think that's why we consider Scorpio dangerous, because it actually can be. And I've heard a really great comparison between Aries and Scorpio. Aries is like a machine gun or a flamethrower. Scorpio is like a sniper. It will sit in the dark for hours, get a perfect aim, and will take you down. Now, Scorpio has a tendency to be like that, but it doesn't mean that it is like that. Or that is something that Scorpio uses, because Scorpio is not as impulsive as, for instance, Aries is. But it is good to realize that Scorpio have that capacity to be quite dangerous. The third misconception that I would like to kind of, you know, challenge is that Scorpio is not trustworthy. The myth is that you cannot trust Scorpio because no one knows what's in their head. They are full of secrets and they are keeping a lot of things to themselves, and you never know who you are dealing with. And I disagree with that. Well, I agree with that, but I disagree with the interpretation of that. Yes, it is true that Scorpio is secretive, that it keeps a lot of secrets, keeps a lot of things to themselves. It's a water sign. They all do that. They all guard their walls, their inner worlds, because they are very sensitive and emotional. But the fact that Scorpio keeps secrets or does not overshare like other signs, if you meet a Gemini, you will probably know everything about them within the first hour. But that doesn't mean that you cannot trust Scorpio. It just means that they keep a lot to themselves and it takes them a longer time to open up. But for some reason, people make the connection that because Scorpio is full of secrets and full of that kind of walls that are guarding the Scorpio as a person, as a soul, as a spirit, let's call it like this, because of that, you cannot trust them because you never know what's in their mind. But the thing is that if you make an effort and get friends with Scorpio and you will get into the point when they will trust you, they will open up. So it's not a matter of not being trustworthy. It's a matter of guarding your own self from others until you know it's safe. So I think that this particular misconception is untrue. And if you have Scorpio as a friend, you know you can trust them 100%. The next misconception number four, is that Scorpio loves death and macabre. And I know that there is this kind of a Scorpio meme or image, you know, that a Scorpio woman has million tattoos, piercings, wears black, look like a gothic princess. Probably if you would think about Scorpio women in this aspect, you would think about Adam's Family, Wednesday, you know, all kind of women who have that aesthetics. And they have then, of course, by proxy, reputation of loving that kind of macabre, dark, dead things and so on. And truth to be told, I actually have one Scorpio woman on Facebook. We are not very close friends. We just know each other. And from time to time, she posts pictures from some sort of a gothic festival, something in a castle. And yeah, everyone is dressed up in this Victorian dark gothic clothes. And I think there is even like a metal music there or hard rock or whatever. By the way, beautiful pictures. But that's the only person I have on Facebook who attends those kind of things. And yes, she's a Scorpio. So there is a bit of truth in that. But the fact that people say that, you know, Scorpio loves macabre and death and all the kind of a dark, grossy things, is not necessarily that Scorpio has a sick pleasure in exploring that, but it's rather that Scorpio actually feels comfortable with those topics, unlike the rest of us. And it is actually, there is actually quite simple explanation to that. Scorpio season starts in the midst of all autumn, right? So during Libra, we have this transition from green leaves and flowers and all the blossoms and harvest into slow yellow, orange colors. You know, we see that autumn is coming in. I look now through the window and most of the leaves are orange or yellow or brown. It's a beautiful autumn. It's like a postcard. It's wonderful. But I know that by 21st of November, when the Scorpio season is over, none of this is going to be here. All the leaves are going to fall on the ground. All the flowers will die. All the bloom will die. There will be nothing to harvest anymore. There will be no apples on the trees. None of this. We will witness a death of a natural world. That's the Scorpio season. They are very comfortable with that because that's the heart of their energy. And it doesn't mean that they take a joy in exploring those topics. It's more that they have a very instinctive and natural understanding that death is a part of a cycle. And they are not afraid to explore that part of the cycle. The thing that many people forget about Scorpio season is that not only everything dies, but the seeds for the rebirth in Taurus season, which is the exact opposite of Scorpio, are being planted right now as we speak. So the opposite, as I said, to Scorpio is Taurus. Taurus is when everything is in full bloom. So we have Aries, and Aries is when we have little buds on the branches and we see that things are coming back to life. There is this buzzing energy. But it's Taurus season when everything explodes. The flowers, the leaves, it's the beautiful spring. And that's the opposite of the death of Scorpio, right? But all those seeds from which the beautiful Taurus bloom initiates were seeded during the Scorpio season. Because now all the flowers that are dying, they are actually, you know, spreading the seeds for the next year. This is the season when the seeds are being planted for the future. And the interesting thing is that if, for example, there are warmer days in November and some of the seeds start to germinate again, just to, you know, sprout again, they will die because the frost will come soon, or the cold winter will come soon. So it also teaches us about being patient with the cycles of death and rebirth. You cannot collect yourself back from something so fast. You need the moment, the season, the time to rest, to reflect, to replenish. So I find it really magical. I just thought about it. I heard about it just a couple of days ago, because the connection to the death of nature is pretty obvious. But that death of nature also gives the seeds for the next year, for everything to grow back again. The absolute beautiful definition of death and rebirth. Last but not least, during the Scorpio season, on 31st of October, 1st of November, we celebrate, depending on the culture, a lot of different festivities. So, of course, the commercial version of it, it's called Halloween, where we dress up, run around for wild parties, scare each other, kids are trick-or-treating, and we watch horror movies or just get spooky. But in other cultures, for example, in Mexico, this is the Day of the Dead. In Poland, where I come from, this is also the day that there is All Saints and Day of the Dead. And this is a time where we think about those who passed away to the other side, right? Again, right? And it's interesting because in every culture, regardless how this is being celebrated, by the way, the pagan name for that is Celtic pagan, it's Samhain. That's also another celebration. It's the same day, 31st to the 1st of November. It is said that this is a day when the veil between the world of living and the world of death is getting the thinnest, and you can actually see through the veil and communicate with the ones that are on the other side, and vice versa. Well, that is happening exactly in a Scorpio season. So, of course, Scorpio has this easiness and comfort with stepping into those topics, because that's the heart of it. That's the heart of that season. So to sum up, Scorpio does not necessarily love death and macabre. It's just very comfortable and very intuitively tuned to the fact that death is also a part of life, and that this is nothing we should be scared of. We should actually be interested in embracing or exploring it. The next fifth misconception about Scorpios is that they are extremely obsessive. And here, I would like to say that the first thing that comes to my mind is a plethora of memes that I have seen about obsessive Scorpio women. And usually they are being represented by Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a movie from 80s with Michael Douglas, where he has an affair with a woman, and he's in the understanding that this is just a fling because he's married. And she goes completely nuts on him. She starts to stalk him. And it's a psychological thriller to the point where she's about to even kill him, right? So that kind of a psycho-obsessive woman. It's somehow associated with a Scorpio woman. And this is, again, a very unfair and honestly simplified view of a Scorpio obsession, because Scorpios, yeah, they can be obsessive to an extent, like every single fixed sign. So I think that obsessiveness comes from the mode of being fixed sign. We have four fixed signs: Taurus, Leo, Aquarius, Scorpio. And for some reason, we only call Scorpio obsessive. I wonder why. Well, fixed means a lot of great things, but on the negative side, it means to be stubborn, right? So the negative side of Taurus would be that stubbornness, that fixed kind of element would be symbolized by being lazy and unable to move, either mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or even physically. When we think about fixed Leo and the dark kind of signification of that, we think about Leo being stubborn, just simply stubborn. They can be super, super stubborn and set in their ways. When we think about Aquarius, that is a air sign and is represented by, you know, the verb I think. So this is a lot about ideas and thoughts and working with your mind. Aquarius are known for showing that fixed element as being extreme in their views. Like many extremists are actually Aquariuses, because it's very hard to move them from their idea or the way they see the world if that has a dark manifestation, that fixed element. So why Scorpio is obsessive? All of them can be obsessive over something. And I think it's because Scorpio is a water sign and water is emotions and feelings. So what do you do when you take stubbornness and emotions? You get obsession. And I think that's pretty much what it is, because the stubbornness of Scorpio is represented by, you know, that kind of obsessive, stubbornly feeling something or dwelling emotionally in something, right? As opposed to, for example, Aquarius that will just, you know, get set on the worldview, but might be detached from the feelings of it. So I think that that's how the how Scorpio got this obsessive reputation, you know, the crazy obsessive psycho woman. But it's kind of bullshit, if I'm to be honest. I see obsessiveness element, absolutely. But that obsessiveness doesn't have to be a bad thing. We need people who get obsessed by something, because those are the people who go extra length, or I would say to the moon and back, to solve something. Those are detectives and investigators who get obsessed with the case and catching the bad guy. Those are investigative journalists who get obsessed with bringing some criminals to justice, and they can spend years on digging and collecting and investigating. Those are all the people who get obsessed with making things right. And it can be destructive, of course, if obsession determines your entire life. But sometimes you need to get obsessed with something to have that fuel and drive to finish a task or finish investigation, to bring a wonderful solution or resolution to even a humanity. That's why actually a lot of like the archetypal jobs for Scorpios are detective, private investigators, all kind of journalists, investigative journalists, people who like to obsessively dig for days and weeks and months on a case. And they will move every stone to solve it. And I think that we have to get a little bit friendly with obsession, because just like anything else, if it's too much, it's harmful. But if it's a right dose, it can bring wonderful benefits. So yeah, Scorpio are obsessive, can be obsessive, but that's not necessarily a negative thing. And being obsessive doesn't mean that you will become some kind of a stalker psycho lady. It means that you actually might have enough fuel to solve something, to dig into something. And because of the fact that Scorpio feels so comfortable with the dark topics, that can be something that only Scorpio can do, because no one else will dare to go where Scorpio can go. So yeah, obsessive, yes, but not necessarily. And actually, with that obsessiveness, I was also thinking that I know that there is also a stereotype, and you know, it sometimes it's true, sometimes now, that many Scorpios can kind of get into the rabbit hole. So they are so much into the topic that they will just drill and drill and drill and drill and drill and drill, and they will never stop. And I've heard that there is that Scorpio is one of the most popular signs, not popular, like the most conspiracy theorists. Let's call it like this. I don't like this word. Let's say the people who are challenging the status quo, many of them have a lot of strong Scorpio placements in their chart, because A, they need to dig the truth, B, they are not afraid to go against the current, and C, they are not afraid to dig into the dark side. And if you think about fixed water, actually you can, I was trying to imagine how fixed water look like in terms of this obsession. So my first association was always a waterfall, right? And I would say it's a good association, because waterfall is a fixed water. It's not a river. It's not a spring that moves just like cardinal water. It's not an ocean. It's not a lake. Well, maybe it's actually, it could be a lake, but waterfall is that kind of like one direction stream of fixed water. Some people say it's ice, water that is frozen because it's fixed, and ice can, you can pierce with ice or pierce through ice. So again, piercing, penetrating the topic to the depth. I also had the kind of the vision of a well. When you have a very deep well and there is a water at the bottom which stands still, and a lot of people, most of people would be afraid to go down to the well, but that's the Scorpio, I would say, that would be the Scorpio courage to go there, and Scorpio would go there. But all of those things kind of show me that fixed water element, the kind of the one direction of a flow, like with a waterfall, or going very deep, like to the well, or piercing through things like with an ice. And I also thought about dripping water, which also is like, you know, drop after drop after drop after drop. It goes only from one direction to another, from top to bottom, constantly over days and weeks. And actually it can break the whole stone if it's just, you know, drops long enough. And yeah, that obsessiveness is embedded in that fixed water. But I guess Scorpios, that's one of the self-care that they have to implement, that taking care that they are not getting completely overtaken by their obsessions. But obsession can be good. Remember that. Okay, number six. Scorpio is over-sexual. So there is a myth about Scorpio women especially, that they are the most promiscuous of the zodiac sign, that they are very sex-driven, have multiple sexual partners, they are always up for it, and so on. And I think that this is again a huge misconception, because Scorpios are not afraid to explore the taboos set by culture or society, sex included. Sex, many times, is still considered a huge taboo in many cultures. And Scorpios are there to break taboos, to go in and see, okay, it's a taboo. Let me go in and check. Let me drill that topic. So just as they might have a curiosity about death and rebirth and the dark side of that, they also might be curious about sex and the boundaries of sex. So it's not about promiscuity as such, but about exploration of a taboo topic. So, for example, they can be interested in anything that is unusual, like tantra or bondage. And they are driven by an instinct to go to the darker side and experience it and make sense of it rather than just having sex all the time. So this is a misconception. They can be perceived as adventurous in bed, but that's not necessarily what they are looking for. They are looking to go deeper and understand the dark side of a thing so then they can come back, reemerge, and have that experience. Additionally, well, the ruling planet is Mars, so there's a lot of sex involved in that. So by definition, there is going to be some sort of a raw sexuality embedded in a Scorpio woman. But again, not necessarily for a sake of pleasure, but that as well. Not necessarily for a sake of just, you know, having those experiences as an expression of love and commitment, or using it as indication of your self-worth as a female, but more as a one more topic, one more area that others are either afraid or embarrassed to talk about. And the Scorpio woman has that courage to go there and to explore it, to have a full human experience both with the light side and with a dark side of sex. All right, so now we are arriving at number 7, and that is a misconception that Scorpio is a destructive sign, that it can bring havoc to everyone around, that Scorpio will burn your house down to the ground if they are angry with you, and that they also have self-destructive tendencies because they go through a lot of dramas and a lot of changes and a lot of transformations throughout their life. There are some people that maybe have one or two major transformations, when a Scorpio woman or a Scorpio man can have 10. So it's almost like they are trying to self-destroy themselves. And again, the destructive, the external destructive kind of reputation that the Scorpio will destroy you, I think is again misunderstood. It is connected with the misconceptions I have talked about before, like, you know, Scorpio is dangerous, Scorpio is not trustworthy. That is connected with that, but it's also connected with the fact that one of the main goddesses that is associated with the Scorpio sign is a Hindu goddess Kali. And that is the goddess of time, death, and destruction. If you have ever seen a picture or a painting, rather painting, unless we are talking about AI-generated images, a painting or a visualization of Kali, it's a truly scary goddess with several arms, having, I think one of the most famous one is that she just killed a man that is laying down on the ground. And yeah, this can be really intimidating and really scary. But again, that destructiveness has a purpose. That's the whole thing. It's not just destroying things for a sake of destroying things. It's destroying things in order to create a place and space for a rebirth, for bringing something new, for building a new world. If you would, I don't know, think about the my favorite example, for some reason, renovating the kitchen. I don't know why. I actually never even renovated the kitchen, but for some reason, that just an example that I always have in my sleeve. Renovation of a house or anything of this kind, you want to have a new, better kitchen. You have to destroy the old one. It's messy, it's difficult, it requires a lot of effort, and the picture, like in the middle of a process, is horrible. There is a debris and a broken old furniture everywhere, and there is this, dust and dirt, and you sit in the middle of this and thinking, what the hell? And then you realize that once you clean this up, you actually have a space to create the kitchen that you really want. And it's like this with anything else in life, systems falling down for the new ones to emerge, hopefully better ones. Authorities, relationships. Sometimes something has to be destroyed so another thing can reemerge. And actually, not sometimes, many times it's the case. Although, of course, sometimes things can grow next to each other. But, well, especially if we talk about relationships, it's hard to have two or three in the same time and just add to the new romantic relationship. Okay, like I will get myself a second and third husband, or something like this. So that distractiveness and that image of Kali goddess can be scary and can, give an impression that Scorpio are just destroyers of everything. Without a context, it could be the impression that is correct, but the context is it's not a distraction that is purposeless. It's a distraction with a purpose to create space for something new. About the self-destructive tendencies of Scorpio, there is also something to say. I do have to admit that most of the Scorpio people I met went through, on average, as I mentioned, more transformations in their life than three other people I will put together. But that's because Scorpios are not afraid. Even if they are afraid, they still have a drive to destroy the old version of themselves so they can reemerge again as a better one. That's why Phoenix is it's an animal or a symbol associated with a Scorpio, that kind of transformation, which many times is just absolutely necessary for our progress, be it spiritual, emotional, even physical. And let's not forget, Scorpio is a night manifestation of a Mars. And as I said, night is associated with a female, is associated with introvert, when the day is associated with a masculine and with extrovert. So a lot of that feistiness and battles, in case of Scorpio, are happening introvertly, meaning inside of a Scorpio. Aries tends to lash out on others. It's an extrovert sign, it's a masculine sign, but Scorpio can very well lash out on her himself. And that's also needed. The battle with yourself, constant battle with yourself, but from that battle comes the destruction and comes the improvement. Last but not least, the last misconception, the number eight, as Scorpio is number eight in a zodiac, is that Scorpios are vindictive. They are considered to be the signs that take the revenge, that they will, if you will do them wrong, if you will cross them, they will take a revenge on you. And again, the very typical meme that comes to the mind is Glenn Close in The Fatal Instinct. Some people were also comparing the bride from Kill Bill to a Scorpio archetype. I have seen that. But truth to be told, my personal experience with Scorpios is that they are far from taking revenge. They actually usually don't. So I think that comes with that, ability to keep secrets and ability to kind of be very closed off. But I think the main point of it is because let's just make something clear. Scorpios are not very good at forgive and forget. They might be actually able to forgive you. They will never forget what you did. They hold a great memory of everything that you have done, and that was, not great for them. I think the reason is that, again, Scorpio is a water sign and it has a lot of guards and a lot of protectiveness about themselves. So if you finally are able to get through the walls that Scorpio has built, and you are able to become friends or close with them, they will open up to you. They will share their secrets, their journey, and even the secrets that might scare you because they are Scorpios. But if you cross them, if you betray their trust, if you are going to be disloyal to them, it's gonna be very difficult for them to just, move on. They are going to suffer through it. It is a very sensitive sign. So they will take a lot of time to recover, but you might not be able to see it because they will guard themselves back again. Plus, remember the stinger, the pincers, so they might also seem to be ready to attack you if you try to get close again. But they basically will reconcile and grieve within themselves, and they will take the biggest betrayals as an opportunity to self-destruct again the version that they were and reemerge as something new. They don't need a revenge. They will just shed the old skin, although they are not snakes, but you know what I mean. But they will not open the door to you, most probably. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to regain the trust of a Scorpio. If you betrayed them, they will probably never open up to you again. But because they are very emotional and also very intuitive, and also they have a psychic abilities, they emanate, even through that exoskeleton, they emanate a lot of energy. Many people say that actually Scorpios are super magnetic, that there is some allure that draws people to Scorpio. And I believe that's because of that. Thank God for that exoskeleton, because imagine if they wouldn't have it. But you might actually sense this feeling of the memory of betrayal that they carry in them. And you might take it as a danger to you. So you might anticipate that the judgment day will come or the vendetta is going to be executed on you. But I don't think that's really the case because most of, like, all the Scorpio people I know, they are not vindictive at all. They don't take a revenge. They just let it die. It takes them a lot to process that within themselves, to say goodbye to the relationships, to let go. That's also a part of that obsessiveness that they have. But they are not gonna go and harm you. They will just leave karma to it, or they will not even care. After like a year or 2 years, they will be a new person. They will transform again. And they will have a memory of betrayal. That's why you will never get back to their close circle. But they will not even have a feeling or a desire to harm you or take a revenge on you. At least that's my experience. So no, don't be afraid. That's not gonna be a sign that will, come after you. At least not by my experience, and not but also but by what I researched about Scorpios. So here we have it. Eight misconceptions about Scorpios and my personal take on it. To sum up, I think that those are extremely fascinating signs. with an extreme capability of going where no one else wants to go, with a courage to immerse themselves in a darkness and come back to the light and carry that experience and memory for all of us. Amazing diggers, investigators, fantastic friends if you get close to them, and by no means some sort of a, you know, psycho-vindictive individuals. So don't be afraid of Scorpio. Get friendly with a Scorpio. Get friendly with Scorpio in you, because you have it just like I have it. We all have Scorpio somewhere in our birth chart. And you might be surprised if you look at your birth chart and discover that that actually is a quite strong force in your life. So embrace your Scorpio. Maybe don't hug it because it can sting. Try to get friendly first, gain its trust, but embrace the Scorpio in you, embrace the Scorpios in your life. And with that being said, happy Scorpio season. And I hope to release the next episode quite soon. And in the episode 6, I want to talk about 5 things we can learn from a Scorpio woman. And hopefully you will join me for that. So I will talk to you next time.